Illuminati killed Mike Jackson. Barack Obama aware of all they precise action. Look at the dollar bill, they want the light blackened. Y'all too stupid and blind to see what might happen. The symbolism from beginning of recorded times, and Hinduism in the spinning of distorted minds. You believe it when the television report the crime. Well, I believe that that's irrelevant, falsified. Where was Jesus in the Bible for 17 years? He was in Tibet and India, and they were his peers. He also lived in the Himalayas and Kashmir. He survived the crucifixion and lived for mad years. They like the idea of war between Arab and Jew. They like the idea of slaughter and massacre too. Knowledge is infinite, it's something you have to pursue. I pray to God on the Shabbat for a pacifist cool.
To most people who would consider themselves intelligent beings, they think, well, that's absurd. What's all this doomsday stuff?
Born in the Sudan, raised in America. Age 7 in the new land, raised by the seraphim. Learned Islam and Mizraim. Amongst the pyramids, drank rhyme. From the Nile River, later reminisced and drank wine. Return to childhood and crime. Did an upstate bid for 3 years out on parole, now the world is mine. Created his own movement in 69. Nubian Hebrew mission had arrived. He's alive, changed his name to Isa Abdullah. Many times after that, legally changed his name several times. Level 9, Jackie and the Starlights. Made music with passion. Rolls Royce, elegant fashion, ready for action. Descending of aliens from another planet. They said Christ was underhanded. Like King Solomon with many wives under marriage. Many seas, many heirs to the throne. Ready to die if forever is told. Similar to this 11-year-old. After being gang raped, the 8 memorized the Testament scrolls. Front to back, he recited the Bible. Word for holy word, passion of the Christ on arrival. The Branch Davidians took him in, then he took him over. Claiming the name of David from the book of Jehovah. You'd have thought that he's from Brooklyn, how he had it all sewn up. Till the ATF had him blown up, out of Waco.
So, you know, you guys do it your way, I do it my way. You got an argument with me, you catch me on the side of the road somewhere, you come argue with me. You come point guns in the direction of my wife and my kids, damn it, I'll meet you at the door any time. And I'm sorry some of you guys got shot. But, hey, God will have to sort that out, won't he?
Ego thes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Give them all haircuts. Let God sort them out. Yeah, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. We're back on top of the hour here. We have our guest, DDJ. And, well, I kind of want to, like I said, it was sort of a coincidence. I had this clip ready for the show today, just as a small talking point, but it's going to jump in, it's going to jump up our major talking point here for the show. So let's go ahead and start that clip. This is from a YouTuber called Chris Ray Gunn. Go ahead.
few people explaining what feminism is, explaining that, oh, it's, you know, it's about the social equality of men and women. It's like, it's another one of those feminist sales pitches. And, you know, of course, if you need to have a sales pitch in the first place, kind of implies that what you're selling isn't all that great. But the problem that I have with feminism is that it says that, oh, this is the definition of feminism, plain and simple. It is the belief that men and women should be treated equally. That's what feminism is. And the problem with that is you can't really use the dictionary definition of an ideology to accurately inform people on what that ideology actually is. The literal definition for Nazi is a member of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. When you define that literally, it doesn't seem all that serious. It seems like a pretty standard political party. Like, there's nothing necessarily offensive about those words. It's what those things become and what those things inevitably shift into that's the problem. Ideologies are not objects. They are not like walnuts. Walnuts, I don't know why I said it that way. They're not like walnuts or like wristbands or tables. You know, those things are consistent. They are always what they are. Sometimes the shape of them might change, but ultimately they still serve the same function. A wristband goes on your wrist. A table is a thing for you to put stuff on. And so on and so forth. You get it. But an ideology changes and distorts over time. It's constantly shifting. I mean, that's the purpose of an ideology, is to last as long as it can. And in order to last as long as it can, it needs to change with the times. That's ultimately what an ideology is. I mean, you can look at political parties from the 1950s and compare them to political parties now, and you could see that a Democrat in 1950 would not agree at all with a Democrat in 2005. I, as a liberal, would be considered a conservative now when I would have been considered a bleeding heart liberal not 6 years ago. You know, ideologies become extreme. That's what they do. That's why when you look at the Republican Party right now, it's a joke. That's why when you look at the Democratic Party right now, it's a joke. It's because ideologies become extreme over time. And you can look at the dictionary definitions of those ideologies, and they're not offensive in any way. But then you look at those ideologies in practice, which is what my argument towards feminism is that I believe in the equality of men and women. I believe that wholeheartedly. So why do I need to be a part of an ideology to support that idea? Why does feminism own the concept of gender equality? Why is it that if I'm not a feminist, I cannot believe in the equality of men and women? I don't think that feminism owns that concept any more than I believe Christians own the concept of the golden rule. I mean, sure, the golden rule might be part of Christianity. It might even be one of the core tenets. But treat everyone as you would like to be treated is a perfectly good motto. You don't need to be a Christian to follow it. You know, they're not tied in any meaningful way together. You can be one without the other. And my issue with feminism as of late is that it's become a parody of what it was. It's a joke. Like, when you see feminists talking about the wage gap and not understanding why the wage gap is the way it is or how it is, that's frustrating to me as somebody who genuinely does support the equality of men and women. Because you cannot talk about the wage gap and say that, oh, men and women earn, or women earn 71 cents for every dollar a man makes, and still be correct in what you're saying, because that's just not how the wage gap works. I don't think I need to elaborate on how the wage gap works. I think we all kind of understand that it's a general percentage overall of full-time men and women. So if you are a female banker, you're going to make as much money as a male banker. If you're a clerk, you're going to make the same money regardless of your gender. The difference comes in over long periods of time. And over long periods of time, more men tend to work longer hours and stay at work longer and retire later. That's where the wage gap comes in, is that women make 71% of what men make because they work 70% of the time that men work. And it's not necessarily that women work less, you know, in general. It's not saying that Susan is working less than Robert. That's not the implication. It's that, you know, Susan might settle down. You know, maybe she has a kid. Maybe that's like, maybe she's pregnant. So that's a year off of work to raise the kid. Maybe she finds something else that she wants to do instead of going back to her job. Maybe it's a lower paying job because her husband's making the money. Maybe that amounts to her making less money. We all know this. The whole point is that as an ideology, it needs to find ways to remain relevant. So how do you remain relevant? Well, you got to pretend that certain problems still exist or have ever existed in the first place. The wage gap, I don't know, it might have been a thing. I'm pretty sure it probably was. That's why we have the Equal Pay Act of 1963, which prohibited paying men and women differently based on their gender for the same work. But the problem is that maybe I'm not explaining it correctly, so I'll explain it the way I've explained it to other people, is that the women's rights movement was a movement. It was a group of people moving towards a goal. That's what a movement is. It's a group of people moving to get something done. And when they make, and when they get that done, they stop. They're not a movement anymore because they've just done it. I mean, you wouldn't have a movement to make oxygen free. You know, it's already the case. There's no make oxygen free movements. And if at any point in the past that oxygen wasn't free, there probably would have been. But now that it is, you know, they wouldn't be around anymore because, hey, guess what? Oxygen is free. It's kind of the same thing with women's rights. Women have plenty of legal rights that men don't have. I'm not saying that societally we're viewed as the same, but legally, you are more protected as a woman than you are a man. So that goal, women's rights, and, you know, the women's rights movement has met its goal. Therefore, it's stopped. Ideologies like feminism do not stop. And the problem comes when you build an ideology off of the practices of a movement. You can't build an ideology off of a movement because ideologies don't go away. They're not designed to go away. They're designed to continue. So when you have feminism, an ideology based on women's rights, what happens when women's rights are achieved? Well, okay, then we need to start going into societal problems that can't really be changed. And then we start making issues out of things that aren't issues. Then we start saying that, oh, you know, why should the toy section be divided for boys and girls? Maybe we should just throw them together because that's apparently a women's issue. Maybe, you know, we should protest the opening of a male's domestic violence shelter because that's apparently a women's issue too. An ideology needs to invent reasons to remain relevant. And I think that's what feminism is, ultimately. It's an ideology trying to remain relevant, making a big deal out of everything that it can. And that's not necessarily speaking ill of feminists themselves. You know, I don't necessarily think feminists are inherently stupid. You know, that's just a dumb thing to say. But I think the movement itself is misguided. I don't think there's much to fight for anymore. And that's my opinion on that. As for social justice, I think we're reaching a critical point where, you know, students are demanding safe spaces at colleges, even though colleges are places where you're supposed to be challenged, where you're supposed to engage in debate and confront the ideas you don't agree with so that you can, like, learn. I feel like that is what's going to be the downfall, because what message does it send when you can just shut away everything you don't like? in a room. That's not how the world works. And these people aren't going to be prepared for the world. I'm barely prepared for the world, and I'm aware of this. I don't know. It's a lot of nonsense, and the reason I talk about it a lot is because I think it's important for people to understand that the world's not going to be fun. The world is not going to be a kind place. The world isn't going to provide for you. You're going to have to fight. And I don't think that's a right-wing point. I think that's pretty much basic instincts. The world will not hand things to you. And I've been pretty fortunate.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and swing over to DDJ and see what his assessment is. Maybe this guy's right about some things, maybe he's not. So how do you feel about that, DDJ? DDJ, you there?
Sorry about that, I muted myself. So I think that Chris Reagan, I like Chris Reagan, and I like the fact that he thinks about things, but I think that he makes the same mistake that a lot of people make in dealing with feminism. The reason feminism has changed is not because ideologies always morph. They do sometimes, right?
Yes.
But the feminism was an ideology from day one. It wasn't just a movement. It was an ideology and a movement. And when you're talking about an ideology by definition is a political movement, right? So in other words, you're trying to change laws. You're trying to do things to change society. That's number one. Number two, one of the reasons why feminism became cancerous isn't because ideologies morph. It's because of entryism, which is something that Trotsky created in the 1920s, 1930s. They call it the French turn. And it was a communist tactic in which a smaller organization would infiltrate a larger organization by pretending to adopt its ideals and then would subvert it or take it over from within. We saw this happen with the men's rights movement. It's also happened with the Republican Party. It's BLM. Happened with the Democratic Party, BLM. Well, BLM was communist from the start. BLM was a sock puppet organization, AstroTurf organization from the start. So that's not really a good example. But I think that...
But it's been co-opted.
Well, no, it never was. No. It never was. Because the founders of BLM admit they were trained Marxists. The very first manifesto that BLM pushed was a Marxist manifesto where they said, we need to destroy the nuclear family. Look, here's the thing. If you want black communities to be safe, you have to support families. Families are the building blocks of society. When you have strong families, when you have strong families, you have strong communities. When you have strong communities, you have strong countries and safe countries. What a lot of people aren't going to tell you is this. In the 1960s, when Martin Luther King was pushing for the civil rights movement, there were more intact black families in the United States than there were Caucasian families. Today,
absolutely.
Now Caucasian families, intact Caucasian families, doubled that of intact black families. So, you know, but I mean, that's kind of a bit of a tangent. But I think the other thing that Chris Reagan forgets is this. If you've never been popular before, if you've always been like an outcast or a wallflower or an introvert or somebody who is just they've just never really been popular, right? And then you jump into feminism and now all of a sudden you have meaning, you have value.
Yeah.
You have purpose, right? And people respect you where you didn't get the respect before. You don't give that up. You know, if somebody who has healthy relationships and healthy friendships and long-term connections, like they don't have a desire for the center stage, but somebody who is rejected as a child, maybe somebody who was raised in a single parent household or somebody who was never the popular kid, when they finally get popular, that becomes a means to an end in and of itself. And that's extremely unhealthy. Well, that's what happened with feminism. So in the 60s and the 70s, when these feminists decided, you know, when they won, right? When they won the Equal Pay Act, when they won these other things that they wanted, they didn't want to give that up because they became professional feminists. They didn't have any job skills. You know, their job skill was being a professional bitch. So they were like,
sort of like how these social justice warriors, you know, yeah. And when they get on camera, they just let all out. You know, you see these overpowered super Karens, and they just let loose, especially when they have a camera on themselves.
Yeah, I like to refer to them as Franken Karens, but yeah. and it's just, but the point is that, look, if you don't have any job skills, and you know that your star is fading, your 15 minutes of fame is up, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you don't want to fade into obscurity because all you have is external validation because you have no self-esteem otherwise, right? Because everything that's your identity is what everybody else thinks of you, and it's not what you think of yourself. Now you start inventing things to make yourself valuable. Oh, well, you know, all men are sexual assailants, or, you know, when men say something mean to a woman, that's abuse too. And all of a sudden they go, you know, and I apologize if I'm going to offend anybody, you know, any of your listeners, but, you know, Tropic Thunder was right. You never go full retard, right? But they did.
That's the example I use all the time.
Yeah, they
well,
did.
I want to swing things over a little bit to the equal pay thing. And I've been in situations, and I've had people complain to me. And I'll give you a certain situation. Construction site. You have, like, these $9 an hour, $10 an hour Hispanic males who are trench diggers. But then you have these, you know, Caucasian contractors, you know, foreman kind of guys. They're working the machines, and they're laying down the plans. And they're getting paid like $18 to $22 an hour. And then you have these females who are usually Caucasian, whatever. But these females who are on either ends of the construction site with the, you know, stop signs, you know, go signs.
Yeah, the flaggers.
The flaggers. They're getting paid $26 to $30 an hour.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore. And I know people in the construction industry, and typically the flaggers are now making what closer to what the ditch diggers make. It used to be that they were making stupid amounts of money, because what would happen is that the flagging course is a one-day program, right? So what happens is that, you know, single mom goes from the welfare office and, you know, give me my free stuff. And the welfare office says, look, you got to go back to work. Your welfare's running out. And so she's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And they're like, oh, go be a flagger. Well, a bunch of these women were flaggers, and everybody complained about it. And so now they had to drop the wage. And on top of that, you know, they made these competitive scales for flaggers. And so now flaggers don't make as much, but on the same, I mean, they make a livable wage, of course. But, you know, you're holding a flag, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, comparatively speaking, and that goes to the, and I try to get people to think a little bit more on this issue here, because, you know, they say, oh, pay for the same work. Now, is it the same amount of work, the same time of work? I mean, it's hard to quantify amount of work and quality of work versus just punching in the clock.
Well, I think that I agree with that when it comes to white collar work, but I think when it comes to blue collar work, you know, I've known a lot of people, again, because I work in law, I know a lot of people who sit behind a desk, but I know a lot of people who are blue collar workers, right? They're contractors, they work in construction, they're electricians, they do all these different things. And really, you know, when the job is done right, you know, these people who do that job, they sign it. They sign their work, right? You know, if they build a building, or they, you know, build or fix a road, they sign their work with their reputation. And so, you know, if you're driving down the street after the construction crew rebuilt the road and the road starts to fall apart 2 weeks later, That's not the fault of the people driving. That's the fault of the construction crew. And those people eventually get held accountable for it. But on the same token, you know, the reason that you have pay based on quality of work and based on experience, that's what unions are for. And that's the difference between an apprentice and a journeyman, and even a senior journeyman, or, you know, a master in their art, like a master electrician, for example. Those are actual quantifiable titles that are earned by doing specific things. So, you know, an apprentice is never going to, in many of these trades, they're never going to know what the master or the journeyman is going to know, because they don't have the experience or the knowledge. And so the time they say, okay, well, you know, you have these many steps as an apprentice, and then eventually you become a journeyman. And every time you move a step as apprentice, you make more money, because you might have one apprentice that has 2 years experience and the other apprentice has 6 months. Well, the 2 year apprentice will make more money than the 6 month apprentice, for example. And that's not, based on gender. That's based on experience. That's based on dedication. That's based on time, and it's based on knowledge. And so, you know, I think that's the problem that a lot of these people have when they're like, oh, well, I want to make all this money. Well, they want to make the money, but they don't want to make the investment. And it doesn't matter.
And
that's
why I think that women should go into becoming detectives, because bitches love digging up old stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Can you feel me? Oh, yeah. Man. Just,
oh, yeah.
Just kidding for a minute. Oh, man.
Well, I was just saying, you know, women
cold case detectives.
Police. Yeah. They should be police officers too. Because
no.
Hey, you can search me all you want. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Well, it's funny.
On my back? Oh, that's on,
because on Watching America, whenever he gets a female cop thumbnail, it's the viewership goes way up, because they know more than likely they're going to be extra tyrannical and crazy. So it's also interesting how things play out that way too. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, men are suited for better for certain things, and women are suited for certain things as well. And I do believe that there's always exceptions to those rules too. But I do agree, like, I have no problem with the equality of men and women. But I think that this new wave feminism is taking on, like you said, things that aren't necessarily even really problems. And I do see it butting heads with the transgenders, because some females are speaking out against transgenders, and then the whole thing with transgenders in sports is really taking off right now. So I'd be interested to see where that goes.
Well, I think that the thing about the whole transgender ideology is this, and again, you know, and this isn't meant to offend anybody, but you have to ask yourself the question about basic objective reality, okay? And the basic objective reality is this. There are no mammals in the history of the world that can change their sex. And up until approximately 10 years ago, when we taught sex in school, or taught about biological sex in school, we discussed, you know, chromosomes, XX, XY, you know, XX, XXY, or, you know, YYY type of thing.
You're saying reptilian.
Sorry?
No, I just had to get another bad joke in there. You're suggesting they're reptilian.
Good. Yeah, exactly. But my point is that the problem that you have is this, is that men have been shamed, been discriminated, and have had their identities destroyed to such a degree that now they think, I need to change my gender to be a woman so that, you know, everything is okay, right? So I could be a better person. Well, now what's happening is that, you know, these people are taking hormone therapy. They're becoming, you know, they start taking on, you know, female belief systems. You know, they, like Caitlyn Jenner, they forget how to drive and murder people. You know, there's a lot of different things that happen. And what ends up happening is, though, is that, yeah, you like how I slid that in?
Well, oh, you're a woman for 5 minutes. You can't drive. I mean, come on.
That's what happened. He'd never been in a car accident. He had never been in a car accident while he was a man. And the second that he transferred from being male to female, he got into a car accident and he ran somebody over.
You can't make this up, people.
You can't make it up. You can't make it up. It's a living meme. You can't make it up.
Well, think about this, too. If you're looking at going back to history, I can tell you're somewhat of a history buff. You know, for a long time, you know, we were drinking a little heavy there, and we got into Prohibition, and then everybody sobered up, and they were like, hey, now that we're sober, you guys think that, yeah, we should let women have the right to vote? And then women voted, and we all started getting drunk again because women were voting ridiculously.
It's A for effort, man. A for effort.
I'm working on timing, guys. It's all right.
It's okay. It's okay. You try. That's all baby Jesus wanted is for you to try. It's okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that the problem you have is that a lot of these men, their self-esteem is so, and again, this isn't about like, this is, I'm not shaming transgenders. Okay. But many of these trans people who become transgender, they're suffering from mental health issues. And usually it's depression. Yeah, they feel like an outcast. They feel strange. They don't understand. And, do you think
any of the chemicals or anything come into play with this, or also
absolutely
the stuff on TV absolutely as well?
Okay. I think it's a combination of factors. So, you know, what you put in your body determines your behavior. And they've done studies on this to prove this. So if you eat unhealthy foods, like fast food, processed foods, you're more likely to develop mental health disorders. If you're overweight, you're more likely to develop mental health disorders. If you are in certain types of environments, you are more likely to develop mental health disorders. So, for example, children who live in homes of abuse, for example, are more likely to develop PTSD. Pardon me. They're more likely to develop depression. And in certain scenarios, like even marijuana, for example, they've done studies recently. The marijuana that's being legalized across the country is 5 to 10 times more powerful than the illegal marijuana of 20, 25 years ago. And what they're finding out is that the marijuana of today is causing psychotic breaks. And a prime example is this. Do you remember that story in Florida a few years back where this homeless guy attacked this other guy and started eating him?
Florida zombie.
They called him bath salts, and they said they didn't find bath salts.
Yeah, fun fact. They blamed it on bath salts, but fun fact, the only drug in that man's system was THC.
Yes, that is
true. He got the munchies. Maybe he just couldn't afford Doritos. I don't
clearly,
know.
Clearly. He was going organic, right?
Yeah, very organic.
I'm going to get me some free-range meat today. But my point is that diet is extremely important. But here's the other thing that people don't talk about. So it used to be that boys would, because boys are more active and they're, you know, they can't sit still as long, right? So that's why we had recess. That's why we had sports. And on top of that, when boys are younger, they want to work with their hands. So you had shop class and medical, you know, work class and all these different things. You had an auto mechanics class to teach these men to use their hands. All right. Now you fast forward and these kids are going to schools, right? They're living in a single household, single parent household, because dad got kicked out because he was a victim of feminism, because mom and dad had a fight. Mom rebranded his disagreement with her spending spree as abuse, filed a DV order against him. He gets divorce raped. Little Johnny is now being raised by a single mom. And she's trying to work to make ends meet because she doesn't understand. And again, even though she's responsible for kicking dad out, all she was doing was following the feminist indoctrination. So now they're in a single family. She's struggling to make ends meet. Dad's life's destroyed, so he's never paying child support. Not because he doesn't want to, but because, you know, he's a borderline homeless now, right? And he's drinking he's self-medicating with alcohol, so he has no extra money. So now you're in a scenario where little Johnny's at home with mom. He's eating school lunch, which is not healthy, and it's causing mental health issues. He doesn't understand why his dad's no longer there. His mom says all these horrible things about his dad. And he's feeling lost and isolated, and because he's insecure, he's more likely to get made fun of in school, and because he's emotional, And he has no male mentorship to kind of help him explain his feelings. Because let's be real, a lot of people talk in the manosphere and the MGTOW communities or in MRA communities, they talk about how men should be strong. But the thing that people don't talk about is that men have emotions too. We have feelings and we have emotional needs. And so that's an underserved conversation that, that many people, especially on YouTube, they're not ready to have. So now you're in a scenario where this kid, he's emotional, rightfully so. He has these psychological issues. Mom's been feeding him McDonald's because she's too tired to cook. And he's isolated and he's neglected because a single parent can't raise a child.
Well, that now, very scenario has led to, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the passing of my offspring. That very scenario.
Yeah. And what happens then is one of the solutions that these kids turn to is, oh, maybe I'm not male. Maybe I'm female. Maybe I need to start cross-dressing, you know? Maybe instead of laying pipe, I need to start sucking pipe. And, you know, those types of things, right? And so now all of a sudden you have this person who doesn't feel comfortable as a male. He doesn't feel comfortable in his own skin, and he's been ridiculed, and all these different things, horrible things have happened to him. None of these things are his fault. Now he says, oh, I'm going to go be trans, okay? Now he goes, and he gets on HRT. But the problem is that nobody ever asked him the question, why are you feeling this way? The only thing that they're going is, you know what? Let's go ahead and give you the drugs. And the thing is, what people don't understand is, yeah, Planned Parenthood a few years ago pivoted, and this is something a lot of people don't know. They pivoted from abortion to quote-unquote health care and family planning, but they also did another pivot that's less well-known. They became a transgender medical provider. And yep. So now you're in a scenario where you have these ideologues. Many of them are mentally unstable. And they're trying to provide gender-affirming surgeries, gender-affirming drugs, gender-affirming therapies, and they don't know what the hell is going on. They're not specialists. I mean, transgender...
How can you be a specialist in something that is new and didn't really exist
before? I mean, yeah, and again, I'm not... This isn't about shaming transgenders, but what this is about is that, look...
science.
These transgender individuals are being victimized as much by the system as men are. So now you're in a scenario where these transgender people are like, well, I can play sports, or, you know, I'm actually pretty good at this. And then all of a sudden, you know, women have realized that, look, men make better women. That's why we're winning the gold medals.
Well, okay. So I'm just being
a smartass.
So glad you said that, because the next thing I want to bring up is, well, I'm a peruser of YouTube and sometimes World Star, and you know, forget the women who think that they can just throw 50 punches at a guy and not get punched back, because most of them do get punched back and laid out. Okay, let's set that aside. How about these transgenders I'm seeing, you know, with broad shoulders, still big man arms, who are actually at some of these videos, seen they're at these rallies or whatever, and, you know, some dudes just walking by and they sort of kind of like attack him, I guess just for being a man. And the dude has something smart to say and they won't let it go. So you got this transgender, and I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe they just want the perks of everything, because you have those transgenders that won't commit. They want to be male and female, and they use both parts of it. But at, I guess this particular time, this trans thought she was a man and want to fight. And, you know, do a bunch of swings, but yet again, the guy says, oh, forget this, bam, knocks to the ground. So, when you see a situation, what's the point of that situation? What will be happening to the man legally? What's going to happen to the trans legally?
The problem that you're going to have is that that guy's going to have the book thrown at him because he gave that transgender individual attention getter. See, when I was young, we call that an attention getter.
And they call people a hate crime.
Well, yeah, now it's a hate crime. Like I said, he's gonna get messed up. Here's a little known fact as well. So transgenders will go out, male to female transgenders will go out, and they will go to bars and try to pick up men. And they won't tell them they're transgender. So then when they get him back to the hotel room, and the guy finds out that he's with a transgender, and of course he's intoxicated, he beats that trans individual to death because he's been lied to. And again, it's not a hate crime. It's that he was lied to, and he felt like, oh, somebody's playing a joke on him, and he loses his mind, right? And so that's a fair percentage of the homicides that happen against transgender communities. But I think that the issue that you have here is that the Western society has moved away from natural consequences, and feminists can't handle natural consequences. So you see feminists, you see trans, you see effeminate homosexuals, they will assault a heterosexual man. And then they wake up from their coma a couple months later and be like, what happened? Well, welcome to natural consequences. Now, that man's life is destroyed forever. But the point is that if we reinstituted natural consequences, and I'm not even just talking violence, I'm talking in general. If we reinstituted natural consequences for things and said, look, we're going to hold women to the same consequences as men, you'd see all this change. Because women don't have the same legal consequences in Western society that men have. And specifically, that is because of feminism. And the same is true with the trans ideology. And the problem that you have now is now we're in a situation where, I mean, I don't know if you guys are parents or not. I'm a parent. So, you know, when my kid learned to walk, I thought that was an amazing thing. When my kid became potty trained and decided to use the toilet instead of his pants or the floor, that was an amazing thing. When my child learned how to ride a bike, that's an amazing thing. But when you're 35 years old and you do something equivalent of not shit the bed, or pardon my, I apologize for my vulgarity, or you know, ride a bike.
Mike, get that in post.
Okay. Or ride a bike, right? That's not special. Nobody should be clapping for that, right? Oh, look. The transgender guy, the transgender lady, beat the woman in soccer. Okay, well, guess what? Do you know that the women's Olympic soccer team played some 15-year-old boys who were just some random 50-year-old boys? It was like the women's Olympic soccer team versus 15-year-old boys, and the 15-year-old boys won. Okay, that's not a big deal, right? So when it comes to physicality, everybody knows that men are more physically capable than women. And when you're trans, yeah, you take hormones, and if you believe in the ideology, you're a woman now. But the problem is that all that male development doesn't go away. The broad shoulders don't go away. The heavier bone structure doesn't go away. The fact that men have denser muscles than women, none of that goes away. And so you have these transgenders that have these, well, to be honest with you, natural biological advantages over biologically born women. And when it comes to the physicality, the women can't compete. And everybody knows it. Like, this isn't even an 800-pound gorilla in the room. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody knows it. So, but I think that at the end of the day, I think that what's going to happen is that I think there's an overarching goal. And I think the overarching goal is this. If we want to undermine a society, the first thing we have to do is render the society's defenders incapacitated. And I think those people who wanted to destroy the idea of the United States, because the United States is the only country in the world that has what we have, which is we have upward mobility, we have assimilation, we have a constitution, we have civil rights that other countries don't have. A right to bear arms. And first and foremost, what they do is they say, oh, well, men are horrible. All men are abusers. Here you go. So the feminist is round one. the feminists, okay, here we go. Now we've disenfranchised all these men. You know, these men now have no lives. They're homeless. They're drug addicts. They're alcoholics, and they're no longer able to defend society. Well, that's not enough because we still have too many men. We have Christian men, and then we've got these men who have the gall to quit using drugs, right? And they go to churches and they make something of their lives. Well, we can't have that. So then you have, you know, the whole push against heterosexual men by the LGBT community. And again, this isn't about, oh, well, I don't care. You know, why do you care what two people do in their bedroom? I don't. You know, do what you want to do in your bedroom. But you don't necessarily need to hold parades where you're having homosexual orgies where six-year-old children should see it.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, and more importantly, if this is what two consenting adults do in their bedroom, then you shouldn't be teaching it in the schools. And you shouldn't. And I'm not saying that you should teach bigotry. That's not what I'm saying. But what they're doing is that they're doing this under the guise of indoctrination, and they've admitted it. Like they're openly admitting this. And then the problem is oh well, you know, if you have a hard time with our agenda, you're wrong. Well, that's exactly what they were fighting against, right? When they came out as LGBT, they said, you're fighting against this. And, you know, then all of a sudden what's happening is that they're going, oh, well, heterosexual is bad. Listen, what about equality? You could be homosexual or lesbian or trans or whatever, and I'll go be heterosexual. And how about you don't discriminate against me or tell me what a horrible person I am for existing?
Well, you know, see, I really like the idea of equality. And I'm thinking that there's a break. Men are starting to break underneath this because of the violence. Now, I'm gonna say two things here. One thing is, like, growing up, I have an older sister and older brothers, whatnot. Sometimes my brother would be treated badly at high school. And I don't know, something would happen. My brother would not fight, you know, just get out of the situation. But, oh, don't let my older sister hear about that. My older sister would go to the high school and beat the holy hell out of these dudes that were messing with my brother. Now, back then, it was like not so much. I'm not quite sure. I mean, my sister would come back with, you know, maybe a couple marks on her, but these dudes would be busted up and bleeding. But these days, I'm saying.
But that's because black women can fight.
My sister is a terror. Okay, like Muhammad Ali, daughter. Everybody in my family's fighters. It's just my brother, the golden boy. He just that's another issue for another time. Anyways, she can fight. But I'm saying, like, these world star videos and these YouTube videos where you've got literally these women who are just throwing all out on a dude, and the dude just says, forget this. Boom, lays them out. And you know, I've seen, you know, some of these guys are suplexing these women, doing wrestling moves just to take these women out. Now, I'm not the kind of person to hit a woman, but I do believe in equality. And if the goal of anybody, regardless of who you are, is to bring you bodily harm, I will introduce you to the floor or to the pavement, to the dirt, whatever may be around.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a right to defend yourself within reasonable bounds, absolutely.
So why don't women respect the fact that, yeah, they want to hit us, but why don't they respect the fact that, yes, we can hit them back?
I think it's, again, you have to understand that when you're in the superior social and legal position, right, equality looks like oppression. And so, you know, women have gotten so used to, so it used to be prior to feminism, you didn't hit a woman. But it also used to be prior to feminism, women would never put themselves in a position where they'd get hit. Right. And I mean, they're not trying to start a fist fight with a man, right? And so what ends up happening is that these women, they're like, oh, you know, I'm a strong woman. I can do anything a man can do. Because, again, they're believing the indoctrination. And then they step up to the plate and somebody uses them to hit a home run. And it's like, well, there you go. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Did you think that you were going to do what they do, what the 100-pound woman does in the movie against the 300-pound man? I mean, right. You know, this is like one of those things, like, you know, you see the meme where you see the tiny guy facing the guy who's like, you know, a foot and a half taller than him and outweighs him by 150 pounds. And it says, little Johnny forgot he was no longer on the internet. And that, you know, and that's really where you're at with a lot of these scenarios, is that, you know, these women socially and society has considered them superior. They've shamed men. They've you know, adopted man-hating social policies. They've adopted man-hating laws. Everything is reframed as abuse. If a man speaks up to defend himself, oh, that's abuse, even if he's not violent. You know, if a man says, you've been dishonest, oh, yeah, you're a bigot. And anything a man does is gaslit. So then these feminists feel super empowered. And then all of a sudden, when a man finally gets done and says, okay, you know, you've hit me. Clearly you want me to hit you back, so I'm going to hit you back. And then you see this woman get, you know, I mean,
the shock like, look on the face.
Yeah, and Elon Musk shows up and goes, wow, you launched her better than I launched rockets, right? So, you know, now you're in a scenario where, and then everybody's like, well, that's horrible. But I thought women were equal. I thought women could do whatever a guy could do. Again, they want rights, they want privileges. What they don't want is consequences. And when a woman assaults a man and gets assaulted in return, that is not bigotry or misogyny. That is natural consequences, because men are biologically designed to protect themselves. And here's another fun fact for the people in the back that don't understand it when they keep on talking about this feminist BS. Did you know they've done scientific studies and sociological studies to determine the safest place for women?
What with their man?
No, it's not. I don't know. It's not. So the safest place for a woman, in other words, the environment in which a woman will be least likely to be domestically assaulted, right? By anyone, by any romantic partner. The place where she is least likely to be domestically assaulted is in the home of her husband, whom they share biological children with. In other words, he is the biological father and she is the biological mother. And they are married. That is the safest place for women. And that is the institution that feminism is loud and proud about destroying. Now, do you know the most domestically violent demographic of any demographic group, whether it be straight, gay, black, white, any of that? Do you know what group that is?
It is. It's the police. They're 40% more likely, according to two separate studies, to abuse their spouses.
It's not the police.
They're more than 40%?
It's lesbians.
Oh, well yeah. Okay,
one of the same.
Now, same thing. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Good to them. Now, I mean, police are close second, right? But the problem, again, is that here's your challenge. When I talk about domestic violence, I'm using the legal definition. In other words, the definition of a crime. When you ask feminists about domestic violence, they don't use the legal definition. In fact, if you actually grab one of their surveys and look at the surveys they're using, oftentimes what they will consider domestic violence is if a woman and a man has had an argument and the woman feels fearful, or if a woman feels insecure, or if a woman feels pressured, they check that off as domestic violence. Well, guess what? Here's the thing about the First Amendment that I think needs to apply to interpersonal relationships, and that is no one else but you is responsible for your feelings, right? The First Amendment exists to give us the right to offend, but it's also to give us the opportunity to have freedom of dialogue so that we can test our theories to see what works and what doesn't. Well, the problem that you have with a lot of these feminist laws, especially domestic violence laws, and a lot of the sociological research related to domestic violence, is that they don't talk about empirical data. In other words, does this fit the definition of a crime? Does this conduct fit the definition of a crime? No, are your feelings hurt? Are you feeling insecure? And they don't do the responsible thing, say, well, if your feelings are hurt and you're insecure, maybe you need to go see a therapist. Maybe you need to be prescribed some lithium or whatever they need to describe you to deal with your depression. Or maybe you're having interpersonal, communication issues with your significant other. No, they don't do any of that. They say, oh, well, he's abused you. If you feel insecure, that's abuse. And so go get your domestic violence order. They hand them out like candy. Have a nice day.
You know, you're probably the most insightful guest we've had on the show in a very long time, my friend. I really want people to study your work. Can you please plug your books and your websites, things like that, for us once again?
Absolutely. So actually, my website I'm trying to build is kind of like a Manosphere Library of Alexandria. And so I've taken a lot of old blogs that nobody that are inactive, and I've started bringing them over to my website. My website is misandrytoday.com. And there's a lot of articles there. There's videos there. There's memes there. There's research there. There's a lot of opportunities there to learn more about these types of issues from an academic standpoint and from a humorous standpoint, because, you got to keep the humor going to be optimistic. You can find my videos, which I've been making. I've got a couple hundred videos on my YouTube channel. It's Misandry Today. I also have Misandry Today at bitshoot.com and Misandry Today on Odyssey. You can also find me at Gab at Misandry Today, and you can find Misandry Today on minds.com. My book is The Feminist Lie. It was published in May of 2017, and you can find it on Amazon in hard copy and ebook. And I think that's about it. Check it out.
Good. More about those plugs.
Yeah. So I do what I can.
Well, okay. Just one more time. I want people to buy the book. Where can we get the book again?
You can buy the book at Amazon. If you go to Amazon and you search for The Feminist Lie, It Was Never About Equality, you can find it on Amazon. And sometimes they put it on sale.
Well, all right. See, now that's what I'm talking about. With a voice like yours, you should make an audiobook.
I was thinking about that. So back in the day, I was going to hire somebody to do the audiobook, and all of a sudden I got busy doing different things. And so my fans now, every so often when they want to troll me, they're like, when's the audiobook, DDJ? Because it's been 3 years, right? So now it's a meme, and I'm like, and it's a meme at my expense. I'm like, okay.
I think you should go for it. You have that attention grabbing, you could be a professor or someone. You sound like you have tenure.
Well, I've been thinking and discussing and researching these things for a very long time.
Yeah, 20 plus years. So, right? About?
Yeah.
Well, I hope to have you on my show. We're going to be back. Family Case Files, have you hosting with Will and myself, and we're going to dig back in those family court issues. But yeah, guys, it's been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show with me, host B. And guys, remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So please educate yourselves. Good night.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.